on W251BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Peter King. Four southern border crossings will reopen today in Texas, Arizona, and California as the federal government sues Texas over a new law allowing its officers to arrest migrants crossing into the state. The Biden administration says Texas has exceeded its authority. Reporter Chris Fox is in Austin.
The U.S. DOJ warned Texas if it did not forego enforcement of Senate Bill 4 by January 3rd, the U.S. would pursue all legal remedies to stop it. And now it has, filing suit in federal court. Texas Governor Greg Abbott signed the immigration bill into law last month.
The goal of Senate Bill 4 is to stop the tidal wave of illegal entry into Texas. It creates a criminal offense for illegal entry into Texas from a foreign nation.
The DOJ calls the law clearly unconstitutional. Migrants' rights groups refer to it as a show us your papers law. Chris Fox for CBS News, Austin.
Texas and other states have sent migrants to other locations. Venezuela, Ronfi Alberto and his family were among 36,000 or so that went to Denver. His family is now sharing a home with three others. He says it may be crowded, but it's better than being in a shelter.
It's pretty rough. It's tiring at night. It's cold there. It's cold there during the day. Even though they bring you food, you don't eat well.
San Antonio police say they've arrested a father and son in connection with the murders of a pregnant 18-year-old woman and her 22-year-old boyfriend last month. Sergeant Washington Muscoco.
The son's going to be charged with capital murder, and the father's going to be charged with abuse of the corpse. We do expect more charges to be pending.
The pair were found shot and killed in their car. Police say information from the woman's cell phone helped lead them to the suspects. Former President Trump has asked the U.S. Supreme Court to intervene after Colorado's top court disqualified him from the state's GOP primary ballot. CBS News contributor and elections law expert David Becker.
It's important for the United States Supreme Court to rule on the merits as quickly as possible so that everyone in the United States can plan accordingly. The Republican Party can know whether they have a qualified nominee.
The Colorado court disqualified Trump for his role in the 2021 Capitol insurrection. Weeks after a judge's ruling, the names of indicted sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein's alleged victims and other connections have been released in a more than 900-page long document dump. CBS's Nancy Chen.
40 documents in total, more than 940 pages plus. It's important to note that being named does not necessarily mean that someone had knowledge of or involvement in Epstein's crimes, with the documents also including the names of accusers along with potential witnesses.
On Wall Street, S&P futures are up 7 points. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Town Radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to 32 for a high this afternoon, with wind out of the northwest becoming southwesterly at 5 to 10. Tonight, partly cloudy, 24. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 36. Saturday, cloudy with some light snow at a high of 38. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor, but I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man?
I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
When you think about it, talk radio is its own type of sport. News Talk and Sports, 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Apparel. And for all the college sports gear, be sure to check out homefieldapparel.com.
Did the chickens come home to roost last night? We'll find out. This is the Midwest Farm Report.
Welcome and happy Thursday. I'm Charity Seebecker. Happy to be with you this morning. Today will be partly cloudy with a high of 29. Tomorrow will be mostly cloudy with a high of 34. And Saturday, we can expect some partly cloudy skies and 35 degrees. Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, will have more weather details coming your way a little later. We also hear from Lena Bioni of New Holland about a new tractor that's coming to the market, and you won't be looking under its hood. I'll have a story of a five-generation legacy of beekeeping that traveled continents from Armenia to the west coast of the United States. Kathleen Wolfley, agriculture broker with EverAg, will be joining us later as well. Stick around.
Now, here's a fun fact for you. Did you know that the average adult has anywhere from 2,000 to 10,000 taste buds? Yeah. Here's the sad part, though. We lose taste buds as we get older. What? Don't you want every one of those taste buds to be happy? Well, I've got an answer. Bavaria Sausage. Yep. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yankee here for Bavaria Sausage at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg. Open Monday through Friday, 9 until 5, or always open online, BavariaSausage.com. I'll tell you what, every one of those taste buds in your mouth will jump for joy when they see what's coming their way. The authentic old world flavor of their brats. What about all of the artisan cheeses and all of the unique flavors in between? Don't let one of those taste buds be disappointed. Head on over, BavariaSausage.com or the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg. Tell them the Farm Babe sent ya.
There's a new tractor coming to market, but you won't be taking a look under the hood. And that's because the hood doesn't open. And even if it did, there's not much to see. Just batteries and an electric motor. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. And this is just one of the differences between your traditional diesel utility tractor and the new all-electric tractor with autonomous features by New Holland. Lena Bioni is the product marketing manager for this tractor coming to market in 2024. We talk about where she sees electric serving farmers best and where it has limitations. But first, she tells me what demand looks like among farmer customers for electric.
It definitely depends on the farmer of where they're at and how their infrastructure and if they're prepared or even able to run an electric vehicle on the farm. We're seeing a high demand from specialty agriculture on the West Coast. They have an immense amount of subsidies and funds available to them to supply alternative fuel sources on their farm. We're also seeing a lot of municipalities that are very interested in the technology, as well as some mixed farm and equine operations as well. It's a tractor of their size, and they really like the idea of being more energy independent and also that reduced cost of ownership.
And New Holland will be the first to say it. Electric tractors, they're not meant for everything because it may not be feasible in some areas. But where do they belong?
Yeah, they definitely would belong in any of our segments that are currently using a utility tractor. If you're using a utility tractor today, most of the time they're spent with a loader on them and they're around the barnyard doing chores of that nature. So that makes a lot of sense because that's where our power source is. When they're not going out into the field and running for days on end in order to get crop planted or harvested, when they're going back to the barn each night, that's a prime candidate for an electric vehicle because they're able to recharge and be able to save money that way.
And Lena, you and I are talking in Wisconsin where your message was also that dairy farmers would greatly benefit from electric tractors, but tell us why.
So the dairy operations would benefit because they have a fuel source right there on the farm with methane. So if they're able to capture that methane from the cattle and then have a digester and scrub that methane and turn it into an electric source, some of them right now are doing that and selling it back to the grid or back to the electric companies. They have that source right there, that energy already, and they can be powering their electric tractors at virtually no cost once they've installed that infrastructure.
Lena says the industry's first ever electric tractor with autonomous features also adds a safety element to the farm that wasn't there before.
There's a lot of safety that can go in when you have an electric vehicle because of the way that the technology is developed. Multiple cameras and sensors in the roofline and around the tractor are able to detect when objects or other people come within the tractor's safe zone and shut it down. For example, around the PTO, which we know is definitely a major source of injuries around the farm. With PTO guardrail, it's able to identify when something is coming into that area, and then it's going to shut down the PTO so that way there's no injury.
And then I'd say probably the third largest benefit you outlined for us today was that there are cost savings in the right conditions.
Yeah, it definitely would depend on what time you're getting your energy. If you have fluctuating energy rates, any of those off-peak times that you're able to charge the tractor are going to definitely show you some savings, as well as the savings of no longer needing to purchase diesel fuel, diesel exhaust fluid, engine oils, engine filters, any of those consumables that we would have with an internal combustion engine.
Now, maintenance has got to look a lot different because you're no longer changing the oil, changing filters. What do you see when you open up the hood, and what kind of maintenance do you have to do?
It's actually funny that in production, there will be no hood to even open on the electric tractor. There's nothing to see, an electric motor and some batteries. There will be a screen and a filter on top that you'll be able to clean out, that just an air filter. So we no longer need to access the engine since there isn't one. So no engine oil to change every 600 hours. However, we still have hydraulic oil, so that will still require to be changed every 1,200 hours.
How about horsepower? Are we still getting the same amount of power in these electric tractors as we would in your traditional machine?
Yeah, clean energy definitely does not mean less power. We're able to achieve the same PTO horsepower of 65, the same that we would expect out of its diesel counterpart. So anything that you do with a diesel tractor today, you could do with the T4 electric power.
We had a lot of questions today from farmers in the audience about runtime and battery power. And you had some good advice on some of the logistics you have to think about when you purchase your battery charger. So I was wondering if you could explain to us what people should be thinking about when it comes to the conduit to charge up their tractor.
Absolutely. So these chargers are the universal chargers that we would see across North America for any electric vehicle that may be on the road. So if you have a personal EV, then you no longer need to purchase an additional charger. You can use the same exact charger. However, if you're new to the market for electric vehicles and you're shopping for your first charger, there's a variety that can range from plug and play options that will run off your existing electricity that you have at your farm or your home, all the way up through DC fast chargers, which are able to recharge the tractor in just 1 hour.
The cost is going to range depending on the type of investment that you want to make in this and when you plan on charging your tractor.
That's correct. You can really choose which level you want to be at with an option to fit multiple budgets. And then you have to just look at how your infrastructure is prepared and if there are additional costs associated with bringing in more infrastructure to run the chargers.
New Holland's T4 electric tractor will be the first ever electric tractor with autonomous features. Lena had brought up a fun scenario about how autonomy works with equipment. Think about driving up to the cattle gate with a hay bale. You get out of the tractor, you go open the gate, you get back into the tractor, you drive through the gate, you get out of the tractor, closing the gate, all while the cows know you're coming and they're trying to walk out. Well, now tractor technology has come so far where it will follow you through the gate.
Yeah, exactly. So with the some of that technology that comes with electric vehicles is the ability for autonomous features. So we're now able to engage the tractor to go forward and reverse electronically, and that's what assists us in the autonomous features. So like you mentioned, in follow me mode, the tractor will actually follow you where you go. It knows how to sense where you're at and keep a safe distance from you, that if you were to fall down or you stop moving, the tractor will recognize that and it will stop moving as well. We used the example of going through a gate, and when you get out of the tractor, open the gate, walk through it, the tractor will follow you. Stop, you can go back, shut the gate, and go on your way. All based on when it identifies that you are within or without of its recognizable zone. The cameras in the roofline also have lights on them, so you have to be in a recognizable area for the tractor to be able to follow you. There are still some ongoing points of clarification as to what all those safety points would be. A remote has been talked about, an app on the phone. Still some of those things that need to be completely identified before we go to market and have these with customers.
You're still in the newest stages. This product line is just coming out. Do you anticipate that there may be road bumps along the way that you'll have to address before this is ready to go for the masses?
Sure. So we are taking a very careful approach with this across North America. We'll only have 10 dealers who have access to this product out of our entire dealer network. That's for a few reasons. We want to make sure that our dealer personnel are very well trained with this product as well. It's much different from the diesel tractor that they're used to be working on. So we want to make sure that they're very well trained and they're equipped to be able to work on these tractors specifically. And the same would go with our customers. We want to make sure that they're having a really good experience with it. Any questions that they have, that we're able to answer those or solve those, that we're not leaving them with questions, because it is for sure as big of a change from the horse to the car as we're having right now with the change from diesel to electric.
And final question, what regions are you starting out with in the U.S. and why?
We're starting out on the West Coast with the majority of our dealerships, because they have a really big demand for alternative energy sources. They've got the most amount of subsidies and federal government dollars to offset the cost of the initial startup, whether it be the cost of the tractor and also the charger. There's money available for both of those. And they have the customers that are interested in the technology as well. Now, I won't take away from anywhere else in the United States, because we're also looking in some Mid-South regions that we'll be working in, the Pacific Northwest, the Northeast, the North Central. We're basically going to multiple geographies all across North America.
Lena Bioni taking some time with us. She's the product marketing manager for the all-electric T4 tractor by New Holland. I did ask her about the cold weather and if that could be problematic, especially for farmers here in Wisconsin. She says the batteries have what's called thermal management, meaning they are keeping themselves not too hot and not too cold. The catch is that that takes power, of course, so your runtime capability may vary depending on the weather. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke. News, talk, and sports.
Talk about your triple play.
Get this guy a jockstrap and a cookie.
1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Box Mike. Friday nights at 7 on 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On air, online, and on the Civic Media app.
Battle stations, everybody. Let's go, go,
this
go,
is 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Helping our neighbors in need.
Bringing home the bacon. Literally. This is the Midwest Farm Report.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome back on a Thursday morning. I'm Charity Seebecker, in for Farm Director Pam Yonke, and it is time for your ag weather update with our ag meteorologist, Stu Muck. Stu, I kind of mentioned to you a little bit earlier, I just got back from vacation from Florida this week, and I can't say I'm enjoying the cold going from the beach weather to this, although it has been pretty mild. But what's it looking like for the days ahead?
Well, it's still going to be fairly mild, Charity. Maybe not as nice as it was to be above normal, you know, early this week or even into last week. Those temperatures pushing up in the 40s and the like, more likely in the 30s around here right now. But keep in mind, across the southern, almost half of Wisconsin, 28 degrees is a normal daytime high and low teens, the nighttime low. That's where we should be at this time of the year. So here we are, still on the above normal side. And that pattern is going to try its best to stick around as we head into the weekend. There's a high pressure system just trying to slide on into our part of the country today, and that will break away at some of that cloud mass we've been dealing with. We've had a few cloudy days going now, and there may very well be just a little better chance that the sun could peek through a little bit here today and maybe around into tomorrow. But things start to change. In fact, I expect an Alberta Clipper type low, a little fast moving weak system out of Canada to try and make an approach as we move toward Friday. And that may account for some very scattered light snow, if not even late Friday, more likely on towards Saturday. I don't expect it to amount to much, maybe a dusting here and there. And that Clipper slides through, keeping those temperatures a little closer to normal through the weekend. And we've all been talking about it, the possibility of a stronger storm into early next week, toward late Monday or on toward Tuesday. I'll kind of say the same thing we're hearing all over. It's a bit early to call. There are a couple of different camps here. One saying the system could head right up and bring some fairly good snow into southern Wisconsin, and the other saying it may stay off to our southeast, and there may only be some lighter snow around here. Right now, I think we have to kind of wait and see how this thing really does develop. I get the feeling that southeast track may be one that's a little more followable. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Innovation, that's BioVet. Livestock producers rely on BioVet for microbial and nutritional support. Keeping livestock eating and productive. Make BioVet your trusted partner for your livestock health since 1991. Learn more at biodancevet.com. Innovation, that's BioVet.
Welcome back. Charity here with our ag meteorologist, Stu Muck, for your Thursday morning. Stu, how about that weather forecast?
All right, Charity, let's talk of more of a partly sunny day today. Some sunshine, yes, there'll be some clouds, but it ought to be a little brighter, sounding good, and I expect to be in the very low 30s as winds will become southwest today about 5. Overnight, partly cloudy, that does allow it to drop a bit more in the lower 20s, still above normal for the nighttime lows, the southwest winds about 5. Skies become mostly cloudy Friday, and we push it closer to the mid-30s, 34, 35, southwest winds 5 to 10. And then that little Clipper, a chance for some light snow late Friday night in the west into Saturday in the south. I'd expect mostly cloudy skies, mid-30s on Saturday. East winds about 5, become a bit variable. Very light snow, Charity, could take us out of the weekend, at least into Sunday. And then we have to get ready. Toward Tuesday, things will be changing.
So it sounds like we should take advantage of the weather we're getting right now. Even though it might be cold, it's definitely still better than what it usually is.
That's it. If you've got something you want to get done outside yet, I've got a few projects that I've been making progress with. This weekend's got to get done as well.
Yeah, I know. I still have some Christmas decorations up. I know that's probably not the best thing, considering the Christmas trees can cause some fire hazards. So don't worry, everybody. I'm working on it. It'll be down soon. But we also have the Christmas lights around the house. And it's just, after coming back from vacation, I think I'm still on vacation mode. You don't want to necessarily have to go out there, but it sounds like this is the time to do it.
This would be the time. Don't wait another week.
All right. Once again, that is Stu Muck, your ag meteorologist, with us on this Thursday morning. Stick around if we have more ag biz news coming your way.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
News, talk, and the sports that made Wisconsin great. Packers, Bucks, and coming in 2024, the Brewers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Say it with me, the Bucks in six. And you can catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on WRJN 1400 AM, 99.9 FM in Racine, your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
WRJN.
CBS News Brief. It's the Biden administration versus Texas in an immigration standoff. Here's correspondent Jared Hill.
The Biden administration is now suing to block a Texas law that allows state and local law enforcement to arrest and deport people suspected of crossing the border illegally.
San Antonio police say they've arrested a father and son for the murders of a pregnant teen and her boyfriend. Sergeant Washington Moscoso.
It appears to be a narcotic-related deal that
a huge just-released document dump contains the names of alleged victims and other people connected to Jeffrey Epstein, indicted on sex trafficking and other charges before he committed suicide. Some context from criminal defense attorney Joseph Tully, who was not connected with the case.
His job was obviously rounding up people of influence, people in positions of power, and putting them in compromising situations. But that doesn't necessarily mean that everyone he interacted with was involved in that.
CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin State Capitol building received a false bomb threat Wednesday morning. It was one of several state capitol buildings across the country to receive such a threat. The building did not go into lockdown or need to evacuate, as the email threat was quickly deemed a hoax. A spokesperson with the Department of Administration says that they took additional safety measures to ensure the safety of everyone in the building. Respiratory illnesses are on the rise in Wisconsin, and there's no letup in sight. Dr. Jeffrey Potoff is Chief Quality Officer for UW Health.
We are seeing an increase in number of patients admitted with respiratory illnesses compared with the number of patients admitted around Thanksgiving time. We're up about 40%.
Hospitals are requiring masks again. About 1,000 people in Wisconsin died from COVID-19 last year. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks lose to the Pacers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens. Milwaukee losing to the Indiana Pacers for the fourth time in a row. Final score, Pacers 142, the Bucks 130. What was the problem? Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin.
For us, I thought it was just the turnovers. You know, I challenged the team before the game about our rebounding. So our guys, I thought we fought. We kept competing. I just thought the turnovers really hurt us.
The Bucks in San Antonio tonight against the Spurs. NFL, the Packers held practice getting ready to host the Chicago Bears Sunday at Lambeau Field. Bears quarterback Justin Fields on playing in Green Bay.
You know, their home field. I know their fans going to be loud because there's not much to do in Green Bay except watch football. But
The Packers are headed to the playoffs if they can beat the Bears. Jordan Love.
That's what you play for, right? You play for these moments, these opportunities to play in the, you know, competitive games. And I think everybody's excited for it, but it's going to be fun.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio.
Mostly sunny
Wisconsin.
Today. We'll get to 32 for a high this afternoon with wind out of the northwest becoming southwesterly at 5 to 10. Tonight, partly cloudy, 24. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 36. Saturday, cloudy with some light snow at a high of 38. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor. But I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ+ veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Like a touchdown on your radio dial. Yeah! And home of the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM. WRJN.
Ben.
But there's a faction that is.
We survived rusty playgrounds, no helmets, and drinking from the hose. This is the Midwest Farm Report.
Welcome back. I'm Charity Seebecker. Happy to be with you on this Thursday morning. Honey Acres has redefined the landscape of honey production by creating value-added products. Their journey began with a five-generation legacy of beekeeping that traveled continents from Armenia to the west coast of the United States. And Narek Gabrielian, the chief executive officer at Honey Acres, explains more about their business and how they use honey to make chocolate honey patties and honey spreads.
I grew up in the honey industry, going way back to the beginning. I immigrated here from Armenia, actually, where my family was five generations of beekeepers. And when we came to America, to the West Coast, my father found a really good employment in beekeeping, where he became like the master beekeeper for an operation where he grew from, you know, 5,000 colonies up to about 12,000 colonies over the course of a couple of years. They were doing honey production and also in California, of course, pollination. So I was very deeply involved in, like, honey and bees were a part of my life from a very young age.
Can you tell me a little bit more now about Honey Acres? Take me through how you got started and what all you have.
My story starts out in California, but we're in Wisconsin, right? So how did I end up out here? Over the course of my dad's involvement in beekeeping and things like that, he was out in Illinois doing some work with an engineering company, building some custom equipment. And he ended up meeting the previous owners of Honey Acres. And at the time, you know, they were going through some difficult times with the involvement of a lot of foreign honey being imported. Honey Acres was selling what amounted to basically pretty much just bottled honey, which was becoming very competitive at the time, and they weren't doing very well as a company. So when my dad saw the potential of the business, it was a beautiful, beautiful property, 40 acres, 40,000 square foot facility. He just really latched on and was like, we gotta try to save this place. And over the course of a couple of years, Honey Acres made a pivot away from honey as a commodity in a jar, which is very difficult to sell on a national level, to producing value-added products. So in particular, our dark chocolate honey patties, which consist of basically pure honey, pure chocolate, and peppermint oil was the first flavor. And we brought those back. We managed to automate the process over the course of a couple of years, and that really ended up saving the business, and that's how I ended up in Wisconsin.
What role do honey packers play in the industry?
When I got involved at Honey Acres, I noticed that there was a little bit of animosity between beekeepers and honey packers, because beekeepers wanted to get the most for their honey and packers wanted to pay the least for it. So we've gone about our purchasing very differently, in that we're building relationships with beekeepers, and we're acting as a funnel to funnel money into Wisconsin to Wisconsin beekeepers, because we are selling value-added products that no other beekeeper in the country is making or selling. And we're using Wisconsin honey. We're purchasing Wisconsin honey at fair prices. We're building relationships, and we're selling the majority of those products outside of the state. So That's really what our goal is as a company.
What types of honey or honey products do you produce then? I know you mentioned that chocolate. What really sets them apart from other honey producers?
We got out of the beekeeping business about 10, 15 years ago. We were using too much honey. We couldn't produce it all. We were already purchasing so much of our honey from actual producers that it just didn't make any sense. So what we did was we expanded our product line away from that bottled honey style of production to the value-added stuff, so the chocolates. And then we also brought back a line of honey spreads, which most people know as like creamed honey. When we're producing chocolate, we have to get that honey that's inside of the chocolate. It's the piece of chocolate is actually over 60% honey. We have to get that honey to crystallize rock hard within 2 to 3 days inside of a piece of chocolate. So we got so good at creaming honey that we're like, well, you know, we should expand out into all this other stuff. So we started adding different naturally flavored honey spreads like cinnamon apple, raspberry, lemon, and a lot of these things most beekeepers can't do, because once you start adding ingredients to honey, you need a commercial kitchen. It's not just pure honey anymore. So we started doing that as like a value added, and we always really stayed away from liquid honey in the store shelves. We do it a little bit here and there, but that's not what we do. We're not trying to go, you know, we're not trying to buy honey from Jim down the street and then go compete against him on the shelf. Like we're trying to buy honey from him that he's got too much honey. He needs something to do with it. And we're making a value added product that can be sold nationally. So the chocolates, the honey spreads, and then also our honey straws. So we're one of two places in the country that produce honey straws. And we offer that as a service for beekeepers. They can send us their honey and we can process it for them, or we can sell them, you know, honey straws produced with pure Wisconsin honey.
Can you explain the process of, you know, that honey extraction? It's going from that hive to your final product. Take me through your process behind the scenes of what that looks like.
Sure. So we're not too involved in the extraction side, right? So we're bringing in honey generally either in barrels or in totes preferably. So we work with, you know, our local producers that they know, you know, we use X number of pounds of honey on a weekly basis. They, you know, they love it. They can keep their honey out of barrels, fill the totes. We go back and forth. So we save a lot of, you know, as far as sustainability, we're not trashing a bunch of barrels because we're, you know, reusing containers. But anyways, they'll process the honey, they'll extract it, we bring it in, we might run it through like an additional light straining, and then it goes right into our production. We don't pasteurize it, we don't cook it, we don't really super filter it or anything. So the product that's going into the finished product is just pure honey.
How have consumer demand changed, and what products do you see that people seem to want more?
So what we've seen a lot of is people want products that are real, right? So like they want real food. So that's where our chocolates came in, because you can read the three ingredients and you can pronounce the three ingredients. And one of the things that we've really found as well on the honey side is that oftentimes if you're selling honey in a jar, to get away from the commodity of just the honey, you really need to sell your brand. So you really need to make yourself a part of that jar of honey. So oftentimes people are, when they're buying a jar of honey, they're either buying a jar of honey because they, you know, they just need some honey to sweeten their tea, or they're buying honey because they want to feel a part of their local community, and they're buying a jar and they know that there's somebody down the street that's benefiting from that. And oftentimes that's the differentiator between why they would buy, you know, a great value brand, let's say from Walmart, or the one that looks like it was made by a local person, even if the prices are dramatically different. People value that.
That was Narek Gabrielian, the chief executive officer at Honey Acres. He says that with a commitment to purity, authenticity, and community relationships, Honey Acres can create unique honey-based creations sourced from Wisconsin's rich beekeeping heritage. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
Innovation. That's BioVet.
The end of harvest, snow-covered fields, and an early morning sunrise. Winter is a good time to evaluate your livestock's health. BioVet loves seeing healthy animals contribute to your farm's profitability. The knowledge and support from our team is here to help you make the difference in the health and productivity on your farm. Help your livestock stay healthy and call 1-800-BIOVET1 or visit bio-vet.com. Innovation.
Welcome back. I'm Charity Seebecker. Happy to be with you this Thursday morning. Cash corn is trading at 464 and three quarters, down a half. And new crop corn is trading at 498, also down a half. Cash beans are trading at 1275, down 2 cents. And new crop beans are trading at 1224, down 1 1/4 cents. Cash wheat is trading at 599 and a half, down three quarters. And new crop wheat is trading at 621 and a quarter, down three quarters. February Class 3 milk contract is trading at 1560. That's up 5 cents. Barrel cheese closed yesterday at 141 and a half. 40-pound block cheese closed at 145 and a half, and the AA butter had no change and closed at 268. Coming up, EverAg broker Kathleen Wolfley is joining us live to kick you off on this Thursday morning.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
When you think about it, talk radio is its own type of sport.
News, talk, and sports, 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Say it with me, the Bucks in six. And you can catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on WRJN, 1400 AM, 99.9 FM in Racine, your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed. Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
News, talk, and sports.
Talk about your triple play.
Get this guy a jockstrap and a cookie.
1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
We survived rusty playgrounds, no helmets, and drinking from the hose. This is the Midwest Farm Report.
Welcome back. I'm Charity Seebecker, rounding out the farm show with you this Thursday morning. And agriculture broker Kathleen Wolfley with EverAg is joining us. So, Kathleen, I've noticed that the dairy markets are having kind of a mixed start to the year. What are you seeing with this?
Well, we are officially on the third day of trading for the new year. And so far, we've seen one day of higher cheese prices and one day of lower spot cheese prices. Overall, my sense is that the market's probably just looking for some clear direction in this post-holiday, pre-Super Bowl time frame. My sense is generally that from a cheese market perspective overall, that we're in a relatively weak demand position as we start the new year, both from a domestic and an international market perspective. I think I was on last week and we talked quite a bit about demand, but there are certainly concerns from a consumer market here in the U.S. as consumers really haven't been going out to restaurants quite as much. Retail sales have been a little choppy. And on the international side of things, our exports have not really been all that stellar. So like we mentioned, it's been a fairly a mixed start as we look at the cheese market in particular. One market to keep an eye on, however, and one that we don't really talk about a ton, is the dry whey market. One thing to keep into perspective is that a penny move in the dry whey market influences about 6 cents in the class three. Whey prices seem to be relatively stable going into 2024. prices are holding in the 40-cent range. Yet, we've seen pretty good demand for high-protein whey. And there's certainly potential that if we continue to see good high-protein whey demand and dry whey markets start to tighten up a little bit as potentially we see more solids moving up the value chain into high-protein whey production, that could tighten things up and give the Class 3 market a little bit of a boost. On the Class 4 side of things, we've seen butter prices holding relatively strong heading out of the holiday season, maybe a little bit of post-holiday reloading. And in the non-fat dry milk market, no real changes, still quite a bit of choppiness in that 115 to 120-ish range.
So let's transition now to global dairy trade auction. Things were also mixed there. So why do you think that is?
Yeah, I think that as we look at the global dairy trade auction, and that's the New Zealand biweekly auction, we saw a little bit of strength in the butter market and the whole milk powder market, a little bit lighter pricing on skim milk powder and cheese. One thing that we're watching really closely is China. China demand was relatively subdued in 2023. Their economy has not been all that stellar. And again, in this auction, we saw fairly quiet activity out of China. Always hard to know, are they going to be in one week and or in one auction out the next? But in general, it seemed like buyers out of places like the Middle East maybe picked up a little bit of the slack from Chinese buyers not being in the mix, which may have been a little bit helpful for some products. But overall, you know, I think that the GDT auction was relatively quiet, not really a big mover and shaker, at least to start the year.
So now let's take a look at the international milk production. What do you expect to see moving forward as we get more into 2024?
Yeah, that's a really good question. We talk a lot about U.S. milk production, I think on a weekly basis, but we don't necessarily focus as much on what's happening across the rest of the world. And that's really important because at the end of the day, we're competing for international sales from the likes of Europe and New Zealand as well. From a European perspective, EU milk supplies just finished 2023 relatively sluggish. Germany milk production was down a little bit. French milk production down a little bit. Those are the top one and top two producers of milk in the EU. And as we start 2024, the expectation is that we could continue to see relatively lackluster milk production out of the region. Their margins have been pretty crunched. They have more environmental restrictions that could be or could ultimately impact some of their growth potential here in the new year. Looking at New Zealand is just getting past the big flush season that we typically see it toward the tail end of the year. Their production has been mostly flat, maybe a little bit down on a year-over-year basis. But overall, New Zealand isn't really making it too much of a splash from a milk supply standpoint, which kind of brings me to, if we're making less milk in the EU, a little less milk in New Zealand, a little less milk here in the U.S., we do find ourselves in a little bit more of a vulnerable supply situation as we go into 2024, which I think could squarely land in a potentially more bullish talking point as we start 2024, if we see demand start to pick back up.
And you also mentioned off air when we were talking, when it comes to the dairy margin coverage program, there's not a whole lot new to report yet, right? What's kind of on the horizon with that?
Yeah, that's a good point. The dairy margin coverage program, when we look at it, that program is run by the USDA, the FSA office, is a pretty much a no-brainer for dairy producers. Folks have been waiting eagerly for signups for 2024, and we have not heard anything new on potential signups. The most recent information that I've picked up is that it could be a couple weeks yet as USDA works to get signups up and going, and it does sound like those signups will be retroactive to January 1st. So stay tuned. It seems like there's good news to come on the dairy margin coverage program side of things, but it may be a few weeks yet.
And then is there anything else that farmers should be aware of when it comes to dairy markets moving forward, or anything else that's on your radar?
No, I think that the biggest thing that I'm looking at today is this delicate balance between supply and demand, not just here in the U.S., but globally. We talked a little bit about international milk production being a little more vulnerable. demand not being all that hot here in the domestic market and internationally. So I think that as we enter 2024, there is this big question mark of what's going to be the thing that's going to tip. Are we going to see demand start to increase, or will the supply side vulnerability really start to show its hand? So depending on where we land here in 2024, I think that could really dictate the direction of the markets going forward.
Once again, that was agriculture broker Kathleen Wolfley with EverAg. Thanks for joining me on this Thursday morning, and have a great day, everybody.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
On air, online, and on the Civic Media app.
Battle stations, everybody. Let's go, go,
this
go, go,
is 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
U.S. soybeans are an export success story, as you'll hear today on Farm to Fork. With its increased efficiency and lower fuel costs, ag producers know that propane is better for their bottom line. And now direct payouts can impact your bottom line with the Propane Farm Incentive Program. Participate and you could receive payouts like up to $5,000 for propane irrigation engines and prime power generators, and up to $2,000 for propane building heat systems. Apply today at propane.com/farmincentive. Spring is just around the corner, and there's still time to upgrade to the latest technology from Ag Leader. From SureForce Downforce Control and SureSpeed High Accuracy Planting Systems to RightSpot Individual Nozzle Control for your sprayer, Ag Leader has you covered. Upgrade now and reap the benefits this season. Contact your local Ag Leader dealer or visit agleader.com. Roughly half of the annual U.S. soybean crop is exported. Lovington, Illinois farmer Stan Bourne is chairman of the U.S. Soybean Export Council.
We talk a lot about the nutrition components of U.S. soy. It's a little bit different than other sources of origin relative to amino acids and energy levels. So it makes better feed, basically. It makes better oil because of some of the characteristics of the refining. But we also talk about our ability to deliver. And sustainability is a big issue for us in many, many markets.
Bourne says China is the biggest foreign buyer of U.S. soybeans.
China is the world's largest consumer of soybeans. They import about 108 million metric tons. That's like nearly a third of the world's production. So they are the gorilla in the room.
Will that gorilla continue to buy U.S. soy? Bourne thinks so.
The relationship, of course, you know, has been a bit strained between our two countries, which I think is natural. Whenever you have two superpowers like that, there's going to be things where we compete, where we disagree on. But in the case of agriculture, and particularly in soybeans, that's not one of those areas.
Bourne says he believes the global demand for protein will continue to grow in the years ahead, and U.S. soybean growers will be stepping up to meet that demand. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Darrell Anderson.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
This is Don Rosen. Come join me for local news, weather, sports, and some good morning fun as well. Weekday morning, 6 to 8 on 1400 AM, 99.9 FM, and 98.1 FM. WRJN, hometown radio, refreshed.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor, but I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Your home for the Packers.
1400 AM WRJN Racine, 99.9 FM W260CV Racine, and 98.1 FM W251BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.